The ancient Vaishnav line of pure devotional service, which was spread by Madhvacharya in the 13th century, was inconceivably enriched by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the supremely merciful incarnation of Lord Krishna. Sriman Mahaprabhu appeared in 1486 in Navadvip, West Bengal, to deliver the sinful living entities of Kali Yuga, the present age of hypocrisy and quarrel. He spread his movement of devotional love through congregational chanting of the holy name of Krishna, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and pure devotional service. Sriman Mahaprabhu is known as the most munificent incarnation, as he distributed pure love of God to innumerable people throughout India without consideration of their qualification. He predicted that one day his message of pure devotional love would spread all over the world. Under his guidance and instruction, his intimate associates and followers have given the world an immense wealth of Vaishnava literature. The six Goswamis, headed by Srila Rupa Goswami, left a myriad of works, from the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, a treatise on devotion, to the Hari Bhakti Vilas, a treatise on deity worship. Srila Vrindavan Das Thakur wrote the first major biography of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sri Chaitanya Bhagavat, focusing on the early part of Sriman Mahaprabhu's life. Srila Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami wrote Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, focusing on Sriman Mahaprabhu's later pastimes. These are just a few examples, and the full extent and content of the Vaishnava literature produced by Mahaprabhu's followers are still known only to a few fortunate souls. This pure devotional movement remained vibrant and continued even after the disappearance of Sriman Mahaprabhu. In fact, it brought one of the greatest spiritual awakenings in India for hundreds of years, leading to a renaissance of Vedic culture. Unfortunately, the theology and practice of this pure devotional line was buried in ignorance and misconceptions during the 19th century in Bengal, Sriman Mahaprabhu's birthplace. As many as 13 pseudo-Vaishnav groups, upasampradayas, claimed to be Vaishnavas, but did nothing more than arouse hatred and prejudice against Vaishnavism in the minds of the general public, because of their practice of sense enjoyment in the name of religion. Such pseudo-Vaishnavs are called Sahajiyas, those who cheapen. 19th century India was under British rule, and the oppressive and exploitative ruling class cared very little for the material prosperity or intellectual awareness of its subjects. In addition, some of the prominent intellectual representatives of the ruling class displayed extreme religious and cultural chauvinism, looking down upon the native culture and religious concepts as something that should be suppressed for the benefit of all. The so-called Brahmin class, ignorant of their own spiritual heritage and morally weak, relentlessly imposed their selfish concocted religious edicts over the other classes of India's Hindu majority, a people already morally, socially, and financially feeble after more than four centuries of Muslim dominance. The spiritual and moral consciousness of the populace had fallen to new depths. Many educated and influential Bengalis were turning away from their own spiritual and cultural heritage. Some of them had joined the impersonalist religious cult called the Brahma Samaj, founded in 1826 by Ram Mohan Roy, and others were looking to the West for intellectual and social reform. But a great cultural and intellectual renaissance was slowly taking place in Bengal. That time marked the appearance of one of the greatest saints of the pure Vaishnav line of Gaudiya Vaishnavism, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, the son of Sri Ananda Chandra Dutta, belonging to the famous lineage of the descendants of Sri Purushottam Dutta, and Srimati Jagat Mohini Devi, was born on Sunday, September 2nd, 1838, in Birnagar, also known as Ulagram, in Nadia District, West Bengal, in the house of his rich and famous maternal grandfather, Sri Ishwar Chandra Mustopi. His parents named him Kedarnath. This is a very nice excerpt from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's biography, autobiography. Here's a picture of him at the birthplace of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which he discovered. Quote, I began to feel my life had been spent uselessly. I had not accomplished anything. I had not been able to taste the nectar of the joy of serving Sri Sri Radha Krishna, the personification of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. If I could, I would have liked to retire from my job in a few years. Then I would go to Mathura Vrindavan, and somewhere in the woods on the bank of the Yamuna, I would make a little shelter for myself, so I could be a recluse and engage myself in devotional service. But due to my old habits, it would probably be hard on my body, so I should not live there alone. Perhaps I would have a companion. Then I went to Tarakeshwar on some errand. While I was sleeping there, Mahaprabhu came to me at night and said, "You are thinking of going to Vrindavan, but what about the work you are supposed to do in Navadvip, which is close to your home?" After I came back from Tarakeshwar, every Sunday I would go from Krishnanagar to Navadvip to look at the places of Mahaprabhu's pastime. But I could not find anything, and that made me very sad. The people there are very concerned about making their own living. They do not make any effort to find the places of Mahaprabhu's pastimes. One evening, my son, Kamal, a clerk, and I were standing on the rooftop looking around. It was about 10 o'clock at night, and it was dark and cloudy. Suddenly, we happened to see a brightly lit mansion across the Ganges to the north. When I asked Kamal, he said he had also seen it. But Karani Babu, the clerk, said he did not see anything. I was very amazed. In the morning, I looked in that direction again from the rooftop of that house, the Queen's mansion, and noted that there was a palm tree there. I asked the local people. They told me that place is called Balal Dighi, the lake of the Balals. There is an old ruin there of the fort built by King Lakshman Sen. The following Monday I went to Krishnanagar, and the following Saturday I went to Balal Dighi. Again that night I beheld that amazing sight. Later I went all around that place on foot, and by talking to the older residents, I found out that this was Mahaprabhu's birthplace. Eventually, I visited all the villages where Mahaprabhu's pastimes took place, which are described in the Bhakti Ratnakar by Srila Narahari Chakravarti, and also in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. I wrote Srinavadvipa Mahatmya and sent it to Calcutta to be printed. In January of 1894, we had a big meeting in the Krishnanagar AV school. Many learned, rich, and famous Bengalis came to that meeting. Dwarik Babu, the chief engineer of Nadia district, Dwarkanath Sarkar, and I presented all the facts about Sri Mayapur in our speeches to all of those present. Everyone agreed with us and gave their blessings for starting devotional service in Mayapur, to recognize Mayapur as the birthplace of Mahaprabhu. Then we'll read one more excerpt from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, called Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Vision. As an example of the quality of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books and his unparalleled spiritual depth, the following are his concluding words to the Bhagavat Arka Marichimala, the brilliant rays of Srimad Bhagavatam. Quote, "How I got the inspiration to compile this book is a divine mystery. At first I felt it improper on my part to disclose it, as it might be bridging spiritual conceit. But subsequently I realized that it would slight my spiritual master, which might be an obstacle on the path of my spiritual progress. Therefore, without any shame, I record the fact that while under the benediction of my guru, Sri Bipin Bihari Goswami, who belongs to the great heritage of Thakur Bhaksi Vadananda, a faithful follower of my Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I would read Srimad Bhagavatam. One day, while I was deeply penetrating Srimad Bhagavatam, I had a vision of Sri Swarup Damodar, the right-hand personal adherent of Mahaprabhu. He instructed me to compile slokas of Srimad Bhagavatam in accordance with the principles of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana, as laid down by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. In this way, that book would be easily understood, extremely interesting, and absolutely delightful to the loving devotees of the Lord. Sri Swarup Damodar Prabhu further guided me by giving a wonderful explanation of the first shloka of Srimad Bhagavatam, and also showed me how to explain the shlokas in the light of Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. Therefore, under the direction of Swarup Damodar Prabhu, I, Bhakti Vinod, humbly compiled this book with the utmost humility and sincerity. I crave the blessings of the readers as well as the listeners of this holiest of holy books. Finally, I dedicate this work to the lotus feet of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu." Bhagavad Arka Marichimala, the brilliant rays of Srimad Bhagavatam.
Have you ever seen a translation of that book?
I have a book of verses from Srimad Bhagavatam that I felt was compiled by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur.
I think I remember that's not Sutta, but I remember seeing something. I don't know if it was going along for, that's why I asked if the name came. It's such a long time ago, my memory is so bad. Okay, well maybe we have time to read this.
Would you like to give us the background of this?
Well, I can just tell you what I read that Sridhar Maharaj said about it.
Okay.
That I guess he composed it about 22 years after the departure of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And I guess Sridhar Maharaj never actually met Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He joined the mission sometime after, I think in 1922, when he joined, somewhere around there. But when he composed this, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented that it was very nice. He called it a happy, very happy style in Sanskrit. And then later, sometime later, maybe even years later, I'm not sure, of the phonology, in commenting about these verses in glorification of Bhakti Vinod Thakur, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta mentioned that he was very happy and confident that he had one disciple who was competent to represent the Siddhanta and that he was presenting. So that's what I know about what's been said about it by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta.
What is the name of it?
Srimad Bhaktivinod Viraha Dasakam.
Is it 10 instructions?
Ten verses in separation. No, tough word. Now maybe we should do the Pushpanjali and then this, because he only has a few minutes really. Okay. So what you can decide, I don't know.
I can leave late as 1 o'clock.
But I mean in terms of the order. Because ordinarily we'd sort of end with Pushpanjali and Arati. I mean you can always do Pushpanjali at home. Mm. It's just offering flowers 3 times.
This is fine.
All right. Verse 1. Aha bhakti vinoda thakura guro dvavim satis te sama dirga dukha parada shesha virahad dushti krita buriyam Jivanam bahujanma punya nivaha Christo mahimandale Avirbhava kripam chakara chabhavan Sri Gaura Shakti Swayam. O Bhaktivinod Thakur, O Gurudev, somehow a long and trying 22 years have passed since your disappearance, a time cursed with the painful and heavy burden that I am constantly feeling due to your separation. My life substance is a prisoner to that agony. The conditioned souls, in due course of accepting unlimited births through countless species, fortunately come to gather the required pious merits to take a human birth on this earth. But unlike them, you are a personal manifestation of Lord Gauranga's divine potency, your appearance an evident display of his tender compassion. Dinoham chiradu skritir nahi bhavat padabja duli kana snana nanda didim prapana subadim labdun samartho bhavam kintvo darya gunatavati asasha karunya shakti swayam Shri Shri Gaura Mahaprabho Prakatita Vishvam Samanvagarit. Oh, how abominable is my existence. From time immemorial I have been trapped by the warden of impiety. I have no expectation of being afforded a chance of bathing in even one particle of the ecstatic dust of your holy feet. Each shining particle clinging to your lotus feet contains an enormous joyful ocean, providing the most ambrosial bath and promises at last the fulfillment of my life, the taste of selfless surrender. Oh, but wait, there is some hope. The extensive, all-encompassing magnitude of Sriman Mahaprabhu's manifest pastimes of wide distribution, O Darya Leela, have graced our entire universe. Oh, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you are the personal proprietor, an agent of that glorious and gentle grace. He deva stavane tava kilaguna nam te virinchadayo deva vyartha mano rata kimuvayam Martya Dhamma Kurmahe Etano Vividai Kadapyatishaya Lankara Ichuchyatam Shastre Evanaparaye Hamityad Gitam Makundena Tat. O Bhaktivinod, O Divine Master, if all the attempts of the demigods, beginning with Lord Brahma, have met with disappointment in trying to narrate the totality of your wonderful spiritual qualities, then, Gurudev, how can we simple and ordinary people, fallen in this material world, glorify you properly? We are not concerned with the highly decorative rhetoric of the learned demigods. For us, it was the plain truth when Lord Mukunda said that he was incapable of depicting the magnanimity of the cowherd maids of Vraja, as mentioned in the Ras Lila pastimes. Naparayeham niravadya samyujam sasadukrityam vibhudaya sapiva Yamam bhajam dur jadageha shrinkala samvrishyatadva pratityatu sadhuna. When the gopis were overwhelmed with dissatisfaction due to Lord Krishna's absence from the Rasa Leela, Krishna returned to them and said, My dear gopis, our meeting is certainly free from all material contamination. I must admit that even within a lifetime of Brahma, it would be impossible for me to repay my debt to you, because you have all cut off the bondage of family life just to search for me. Consequently, I am unable to repay you. Therefore, let your own glorious deeds be your compensation in this regard. Dharmas charma gato yataiva satata yogascha bogatmako Jnane shunya gatir japena tapasa kya tir jiham saivacha. Dane dambikata tanuragabaja ne dustapacharoda. Buddhim buddhimatam vibeda hitada tatra bhavan preshita. O Bhaktivinoda Thakur, you appeared at the hour of our greatest need. At that time, everyone practiced body worship and flesh religion, which any honest man will admit is ignorance. The yogis were cheating the public with cheap miracles, exploiting them for money and pleasure. The philosophers, bewildered in trying to capture the infinite, found that their knowledge had led them to the void of nihilism. The mutterers of mantras were working to become well known as japa chanters. Ascetics practiced murderous torture for spiritual suicide. The proud gave in charity only to secure their fame. And all these abominable acts were performed in the name of Anuraga Bhajan, the highest devotion to Godhead. At that dark hour, when all good intelligence had been spoiled by misconceptions, you were sent by the will of Providence.